Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Here's a question. What do St. John Chrysostom, the Sarum Missal, and the Book of Common Prayer have in common? All this and more next on Reflection with Father Mario. Hello, this is Father Mario, the Episcopal Chaplain and Co-Pastor of Church of the Holy Apostles in Southern Virginia. We are an Anglican and Roman Catholic ecumenical community. During the pandemic, we alternate our worship every Sunday between our traditions. I offer a homily when I'm celebrating the Episcopal Holy Eucharist and a reflection after the end of the Roman Catholic Mass. The following includes a reflection and thoughts inspired by the readings from Scripture and the homily or reflection from a particular Sunday. So in a way, you can call this a reflection on a reflection. The views expressed in this podcast are solely mine. Dios lo bendiga. God bless you. Where two or three are gathering my name, I am there among them. And of course, this is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verse 20. Two or three. As an Episcopal priest working side by side with a Roman Catholic deacon and Roman Catholic priest, I have the blessing and privilege to minister to both Anglicans and Roman Catholics in my parish. We have a lot of things in common, and yes, we have some differences. Here's one thing we have in common. If you have ever attended a Sunday service in a Roman Catholic church or an Episcopal church, you will hear passages from Scripture, a sermon or a homily, prayers, and of course music and other things. All of this is very common in most forms of Christian worship. In both the Anglican and Roman Catholic traditions, some of those prayers were written down a long time ago, and at times they can include a response. For example, the priest can say, "The Lord be with you," and the response from everyone is, "And also with you," or, "And with your spirit." Have you ever wondered where all that stuff comes from, including the order, structure, and other details? The Episcopal Church, as part of the Anglican Communion, can trace the roots of her prayers and liturgies back to the 1549 BCP, or Book of Common Prayer, from the year 1549. The current prayer book, that is the 1979 BCP, is at the heart of worship not just every Sunday, but also for other forms of prayer and praising God, like morning prayer or evening prayer. Of course, that book comes from that first BCP from the year 1549, and it was influenced by scripture, church councils, writings of the saints, and prayers from several sources in the 2,000 years of the history and life of the church. For example, take the Sarum Missal. Wait, the Sarum what? Okay, Sarum Missal. What is a missal?
Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, my God above."
A missal, and if you know the military alphabet, that's Mike, India, Sierra, Sierra, Alpha, Lima, that's missal. A missal refers to the text containing the prescribed prayers, chants, and instructions for the celebration of Holy Mass. In the early days of the Church, there were no books containing prescribed prayers or texts or other instructions. In time, the Church started to realize the importance and the beauty of having some consistency in the words used in the celebration of the liturgy. Later, collections of prayers develop gradually for use in particular locations and situations, such as for a particular monastery or for other local churches. Such collections were contained in libelli, booklets, which over centuries were drawn together into larger collections of prayers. In the Roman Catholic Church, this is what would eventually be called the Missali Romanum, or Roman Missal. Now, let us look at the first word in Sarum Missal. Sarum, as in Sierra, Alpha, Romeo, Uniform, Mike. Sarum is also known by another name, Salisbury, as in Salisbury Cathedral in England. By the time Salisbury Cathedral was being built in the 13th century, the Church of England already had many other cathedrals and churches. When St. Augustine of Canterbury, sent by Pope St. Gregory the Great, arrived from Rome at the end of the 6th century, there already was a form of Christianity that developed among the Irish, Scottish, Welsh, and others, with their own traditions of liturgy, ritual, and art. St. Augustine and his group crossed the English Channel and landed in the territory of Kent, ruled by a pagan king married to a Christian, Bertha. The king received them kindly and set up a residence for them in Canterbury, and within the year, on Pentecost Sunday 597, was himself baptized. After being consecrated a bishop in France, Augustine returned to Canterbury, where he founded his see. You may have heard the term at some point of the See of Canterbury. He constructed a church and monastery near where the present cathedral, begun in the year 1070, now stands. As the faith spread, additional sees were established at London, Rochester, and of course, Salisbury. The Sarum Missal came out of the highly elaborate pattern of worship there, whose structures were borrowed and adapted in most of the other cathedrals and great churches. Unlike most English cathedrals, Salisbury was never a monastery, so it didn't follow a monastic pattern of worship, and this made the Sarum Rite much more adaptable to parish use. Allow me to read to you from my copy of the Sarum Missal. The following is the end of the Mass, with the following instructions. These things said, let the priest with body bowed and hands joined say inaudibly before the middle of the altar this prayer. Let this performance of my homage be pleasing to thee, O Holy Trinity, and grant that the sacrifice which I unworthy have presented before the eyes of thy majesty may be acceptable to thee through thy mercy to me, and to all of those for whom I have offered it, who livest and reignest God for ever and ever. Amen. Then it says, let the priest raise himself up, and so the reverence having been made, thus clothed, with the censer bearers and other ministers, let them return in the same order in which they approached to the altar, at the beginning of the service and immediately after the Deo Gratias, thus of course thanks be to God. Let the 9 hour be commenced in the choir. This is like the mid-afternoon prayer in daily office or the liturgy of the hours. Let the 9 hour be commenced in the choir when it is said after Mass. But the priest in returning should say the gospel. In the beginning was the word. The gospel passage that the priest would say at that moment is the prologue. of the Gospel of John. Along with the Sarum Missal, another influence to the Book of Common Prayer comes from the liturgies of St. John Chrysostom and St. Basil from the Orthodox churches in the East. And this brings us back to the words from the Gospel of Matthew. For where two or three are gathering in my name, I am there among them. Last Sunday, and of course that is September 6th, 14th Sunday after Pentecost, we heard those words as part of the Gospel reading that said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." I am fascinated that these two or three mentioned two times in these few verses. Sometimes as Christians, in our efforts to nourish our relationship with Jesus Christ, we can forget that there is more to our faith than the individual. During my ministry, I have heard well-meaning folks say something like, "I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven." It reminds me of an old story, and it goes like this. Two people are lost in the desert. They are dying from hunger and thirst. Finally, they come to a high wall. On the other side, they can hear the sound of a waterfall and birds singing. Above, they can see the branches of a lush tree extending over the top of the wall with delicious fruit. One of them manages to climb over the wall and disappears down the other side. The other, instead, returns to the desert to help other lost travelers find their way to the oasis. My fellow Christians, any discussion and discernment of the heart and mind regarding salvation and how it relates to each one of us will suffer, and others will suffer, if we separate it from the two or three, from others in our lives. In the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, Jesus is asked, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." As an individual, my personal relationship with Jesus Christ stands on love of God and love of neighbor. This is part of the reason why Jesus didn't have one apostle. He had more than two or three. "We believe in one God," says one of the ancient creeds, "and we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in relationship with one another." Here at Church of the Holy Apostles, we know that we would not exist without the friendship of two bishops. Once upon a time, a bishop from the Episcopal Church and a bishop from the Roman Catholic Church decided to start something that today is the beautiful community that I serve today. Two or three. Unless many of the two or three among you donate your work, your time, your gifts, the church would not exist. I am because we are two, because we are three, and because we are more than three. Earlier, I mentioned the Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom from the Orthodox churches in the East. By the way, the church will be celebrating the Feast of St. John Chrysostom, called Golden Mouth, in the next few days. His sermons, his interpretation and commentary of Scripture were never without a point. Many times the powerful, the rich, and the high and mighty did not like his sermons. If you come from a Baptist tradition, I think you will appreciate the fact that some of his sermons lasted up to 2 hours. As part of the closing words from his second homily, he said, "If it is possible for you, remember everything I have said. If you cannot remember everything, instead of everything I beg you, remember this without fail, that to fail to share our own wealth with the poor is theft from the poor and deprivation of their means of life. We do not possess our own wealth, but theirs." As part of the entrance rite per the liturgy, St. John Chrysostom, there was a prayer said by the priest with a doxology at the end of both litany and prayer. Oh, by the way, doxology, great word for Scrabble. Doxology, that's Delta, Oscar, X-ray, Oscar, Lima, Oscar, Golf, Yankee. It refers to words of glory from the Greek doxa logos, or praise to God, usually in a Trinitarian form. A shorter version of this prayer can be found in the Book of Common Prayer at the end of morning prayer and evening prayer, and is called the Prayer of St. Chrysostom, and it is inspired by the words of Jesus. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you, and you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen. Thank you for listening. For more programs like this one, please subscribe to our Church of the Holy Apostles podcast. Or, if you have an Amazon device, simply say, "Alexa, play Church of the Holy Apostles podcast." Again, ask her, "Alexa, play Church of the Holy Apostles podcast." We also offer evening prayer and sometimes morning prayer. Until we meet again, Dios lo bendiga. God bless you. Just from age to age for those who fear.